you enjoy the Rochester family this morning? How about Brother Wales and his wife? What a blessing. Amen. Take your Bible and turn with me this morning to Joshua chapter number 1. Turn me up just a little bit, Brother James. Joshua chapter number 1. I'm going to be as quick as possible, but I promise you I'm going to mind the Lord. You say, well, it's time to be out of church. I don't know where that is in the rule book. Amen. And I've happened to have read it from cover to cover. I've read every word, Brother Todd, that it says. Find nothing in there. It does talk about having church at 12, but it's midnight. In the book of Acts, Paul, the Bible said, continued his speech till midnight. I promise you, we'll let you go before then. Amen. Just look at it this way. If you were in Alabama, it would only be 11. Amen. So I'll get you out of here by 12. Four exits up, okay? Joshua chapter number 1. We have been looking, or I have, been studying about the promises that God left us in His Word. And we brought the message on Wednesday night out of John chapter number 16, and we talked about the things that God had promised us to equip us for our journey as Christians. He promised us, what were some of them? He promised us for the Holy Spirit. Did He not do that? He promised that He would guide us. He promised that He would comfort us. He promised that He would teach us several things in the Word He promised us. How many of you are thankful for the promises of God? Amen. Thank God for the promise. I don't know what I would do sometimes, Brother Harold, if it were not for the promises that God. I run into these things in life, these situations, and I want to throw up my hands and just quit and throw in the towel. But every single time I get discouraged, every single time I want to quit, God will remind me of something that He promised me in His Word. Amen. Amen. I wonder how many of you have ever had this happen to you. Had your little boy or your little girl look up at you with them puppy dog eyes and a tear running down their face and say, but Daddy, you promised. Anybody ever had that happen? I've had it happen time and time again. You know what I've learned? It's not a good thing as a human being, Brother Freddie, to make too many promises. Amen? I can tell my son, hey, tomorrow when Daddy gets home from work, we'll go fishing. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Amen. I'm not in control of the future. I make promises that I can't keep. How many of you do that? Yes, how many of you ever said this? Lord, I promise I'll never do it again. Yeah. How many of you said that more than once? Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know what the problem is? We do not have the capability or the ability to keep our own word. Amen. But God does. The Bible said His Word is forever settled in heaven. Ain't that a blessing right there? Here's what I'm saying. If God makes you a promise, brother and sister, you can take her to the bank. He can keep it. Yes. Hallelujah. I mean, you can just count on it. Don't say, if nothing happens, I'll do this or I'll do that. If God says I'll do this or I'll do that, God will do this or do that. Amen. I mean, just count it. Count it as done. Amen. Look at Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua is taken over after the death of Moses. You know, Moses led the children of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt, and they're about to cross over into the promised land, and Joshua is taking over command. Moses has died. Look at it with me. He said, now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now hold on just a second. He starts off with a command. He begins with Joshua. This is where Joshua's ministry, so to speak, starts. And it starts with God telling him what to do. Now, the command part of this is over. Now comes the equipping for the command. God will never ask you to do anything and not provide what you need to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen to me. Let me say that again. God will never ask you to do anything and then hold back the resources you need to get that done. Amen. If God tells this church to build a new building, He will give us the resources to build that new building. Amen. Do you understand that? If God gave me a wife, I wasn't raised up with my dad. I didn't have a father in the home. But God gave me a wife. And you know what my prayer was? God, I don't know how to be a husband. I don't know how to be a husband. You know what he said? I do. I do. I'll help you. I'll give you what you need. He gave me a wife, but then he gave me the ability to love her and to be a husband to her when I had children. How many of you freaked out with the first one? Come on, talk to me this morning. They put that baby, Ashley, Lord, she's got two babies of her own and one on her way now. But I'll never forget, just as real as it was the day it happened, she came out, she was blue. And they put a little white hat on her head. I thought we had a Smurf. I really did. That's the first thing that went through my mind. It's a Smurf, amen. And that nurse turned around and looked at me and said, here, it's yours. You clean it up. And I'm standing there, Brother Scott, my eyes are that big around. I'm about to have a heart attack. And I remember getting in the elevator with my mother. I'll never forget it. And I just burst out into tears. And I said, Mama, I don't know how to do this. You know what she said? She said, the Lord does. He's been raising children for years. Just trust him, son, and he'll help you. And you know what? He's been good, hasn't he? Amen. I've cried so much this morning. Lord, have mercy. I got to get to the scripture, don't I? Now, God tells Joshua what to do. Now, watch what he said in verse 3. He starts with the promises. Verse number 4, he said, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He said, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. And turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now God had something that he wanted Joshua to do, and I'm so glad when God asked me to do something, he didn't say, do the best you can. Just figure it out. Listen, I wasn't as fortunate. Brother Freddie went to Bible school, and some other folks have graduated from our Bible school, and I never went. I got saved. God called me to preach, and I said, well, Lord, should I go to Bible school? And I prayed about it, and the Lord said, no. He said, I want you to stay right here where you are. I'll give you what you need. Then I'll never forget the day Brother Robert Upton and Brother Charles Dyer set me down and asked me one of the most honoring questions I've ever been asked in my life. For Charles Dyer to look at a man and say, would you be my pastor? Well, that's an honor. I went home that night, Brother Freddie, and I cried before God. I said, God, I've never pastored before. I don't know how to lead people. God, I don't know what I'm doing. You know what God said? Hey, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Amen. He said Moses had never led nobody out of bondage before. But I went with him. Moses had never parted a Red Sea before. But son, just as sure as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. He said, I'm no respecter of person. He said, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Glory to God. Somebody ought to get happy and have church with me this morning. Thanks be unto God. Just as sure as the Lord walked and went and supplied Moses, he will supply me. Amen. Aren't you glad about it this morning? I know some of y'all are done ready to go, but I'm just ready to start, amen? It's church time this morning, hallelujah. Let me give you some things this morning. Keep your Bibles out. Go to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. I'll give you some promises that are personal. Some promises that are personal. Wednesday night, we talked about some promises that will give us what we need to live for God. But let me give you some promises this morning. Maybe only half of them. I might give you the rest tonight. Did y'all drink out any of these waters, Brother Scott? I don't think y'all did. I'm going to preach a long time. I got 4 bottles of water up here. Amen. I preach till I run out of water, all right? Why don't you look at Hebrews chapter 10 and look with me at verse number 17. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 17. Watch this. Let me just look at verse number 16. He said, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord." He said, "I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." Watch verse 17. "And their sins and iniquities will I," say the next word with me, "remember no more." Listen here, God promises me for the past. He gives me a promise for my past. What was that promise? I'll forget it. Are you listening to me? I get a little nervous when some of y'all get around some of these guys, Brother Johnny Cash or Stacy Bullock, Bubba Meta, some of these guys I grew up with. I get a little nervous when I see y'all off somewhere privately talking. They know too much about me. They've got stories. And they're mostly true. Yeah. I finally got an amen out of him, Brother Freddie. My son Levi stayed down at our hunting club with Terry Fennell and Stacy one night, camped out with them. He had a whole new view of his daddy the next day. Me and Levi were riding down the road, and he said, "Daddy, did you really do such and such?" And I went, "Oh, yeah." See what it is about these guys? They remember my past. Amen. They remember my past. You know what everybody who walked in this doorway this morning's got? We've got one thing in common. Some of us may have money. Some of us may be broke. Some of us may be good looking. Some of us may be ugly. Some of us may be skinny. Some of us may be fat. Some of us may have hair. Some of us may be bald. We're different in every other kind of way. But I guarantee you, we've all got a past. Amen. Every one of us has got a past. Hey, be careful when you look down your nose at somebody because of the condition that they're living in. Hey, because you too have a past. Every last living one of us has got a past. We've all got some garbage in the closet. Come on, talk to me now. I hate folks. It's just, I don't use the word hate. I strongly, strongly dislike folks that are just too churchy. Is that a good word, Brother Scott? Just to, you know what I'm talking about? Highfalutin. They're perfect and the rest of the world's going to hell in a handbag. You ever been in church where they look down at people? Oh, we're in church every day, Brother Harold. I mean, we see it all, don't we, brother? I've been in churches where visitors come because I'm there. They've seen me preach somewhere else or on the internet or whatever, and they come and visit in a revival, and they ain't dressed like everybody there. Or they got tattoo of barbed wire running around their muscle. I would get me one that just have one barb on it. Amen. And they come in and everybody in the whole church turns around and looks at them like, "What are they doing here? Look at me real good. What are you doing here?" None of us outside of the grace of God have any business even walking through these doors. But for the grace of God. Hallelujah. I said, but for the grace. What are you saying? I'm saying God does not remember what I was. He's just concerned of what I am and what I'm going to be. Amen. I ain't what I was. Thank God. Thank God I ain't what I was. What was you? I was a sinner on my way to hell. Amen. So were you. Every one of us are just sinners. And if you're saved, you're just a sinner saved by grace. I tell our church all the time, everybody who comes through those doors is bringing some baggage with them. Are you listening to me? I don't care if you got saved when you was 4 years old. Never missed a day of Sunday school in your life. There's some baggage. There's something in the closet. Probably something don't nobody else know about. Amen. I wonder sometimes, Brother Terry, when I ain't around, and y'all sitting around that fire down there at the hunting club and running your mouth talking about me, I know how y'all do. They sitting around and they remembering all that stuff and talking about all them stories. I wonder if God in heaven's going, looks over at the Lord Jesus and said, "Son, what are they talking about?" And the Lord Jesus says, "I haven't a clue. Maybe they're just delirious." He said, "But they're talking about Eddie, talking about all those things he used to do. I don't remember those things. Do you?" Come on, somebody help me this morning. Amen. Isn't it funny how the God of heaven don't remember my sin, but my friends do, and my neighbors do, and my family do? Thank God He gave me a promise to deal with my past. Hallelujah. Somebody will just get happy. Amen. Why? Because I know how bad some of you were. By the way, you know what yesterday is? It's my past. You know, that's why this, I may not even preach nothing but this one point. I know some of y'all saying amen right there. Listen to me carefully. I think that's one thing that makes our church different from a lot of others. And there's some good churches in town, don't get me wrong. But it doesn't matter what you do or where you go, you can always come home. Amen. A lady was telling me the other day, said a family member has been incarcerated. And said they're worried about coming back to church, what everybody will think. Not here. Not here. It's not that we don't care. It's that we understand. Amen. Some of y'all visitors may not like this very well, but you're probably sitting in the pew with a convict. You may be sitting next to somebody that used to sell dope. If they didn't sell it, I'm sure they smoked it. Used to, brother. Amen. Say it again, brother Jason. Used to. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen, preacher.
I was getting my hair cut. Friday. And a fellow walked in that I hadn't seen in a long time. Good friend of mine. Ray Fletcher. You know brother Ray Fletcher? Brother Ray, first thing he said to me, hugged my neck, said it's good to see me, and said, how's Jason? He said, isn't it amazing what God's done? Jason, y'all have noticed he's got a big old black eye. That's what happens when you lay out of church on Wednesday night. Preacher comes to see you on Saturday, amen. He said, just don't hit me no more, preacher. I won't lay out no more. And I heard you've been making a lot of money. You better tithe too, amen. No, I'm kidding. A chainsaw hit him in the face. But anyway, the first thing he said was, how's Jason? He said, can you believe what God's did in his life? He was hooked on methamphetamines. That stuff you can't get away from. That stuff that gets a chemical hold on your brain. And you usually die before it's over with. Woo! Hallelujah. You know, nobody would ever know he was a meth addict if I didn't publicize it. I know some of y'all wish I'd forget, don't you? Brother Warren's sitting back there going, oh no, here we go. No, I'm not. I'm going to leave it on. Listen, thank God. Thank God we've got a place where we can come. And it don't matter what we were. It don't matter where we've been. Thank God we know we got a grace and a love that covers all our sin. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad this morning? Did he click his heels? Hallelujah. God gave us a promise to deal with our past. Thank God. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I'm just glad God brought you here. Hallelujah. How long do I have to be saved before God can use me? About 2 seconds. There was a little lady in the Bible. The Bible said, just describes her. She was a loose living woman. Does that make sense? She was shacked up. Y'all know what shacked up means? That's an old-fashioned word. That's living together before marriage. Is that right? She came to the well to draw some water. She'd been divorced 5 times. And when she got to the well, there's somebody sitting on it. He said, ma'am, if you want some water that you can drink and never thirst again, I'll give it to you. She said, you ain't even got no bucket. He said, you don't understand. And right there, he gave her that living water. You know what? He said, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right, because you've had 5, and the one you're living with now ain't your husband. Jesus saved her right there at the well. How long before she got to do something for God? She ran straight back to town and said, come see a man. Come see a man. Told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Hallelujah. I'm glad we don't have to wait for some reform. We don't have to go through some 7-step program before we can stand up and testify that God is good. Hallelujah. Thank God for the God who gave me a promise for my past. Amen. Some of y'all need to get over your own. You know the hardest person in the world to forgive, Brother Scott, is yourself. Some of you feeling guilty over something that God's done forgotten. You need to get in the altar this morning and get over it too. Amen. I've had people around here call them cripple preachers. Preachers who can't preach no more because their wife left them. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. I've had preachers come in here from other churches, and I know we're on the radio, and I'm making fans big time. They come from churches where they said, Brother Eddie, I know I'm not able to do anything. I'm disqualified. Disqualified from what? Well, I can't stand behind the pulpit, and I can't teach Sunday school class. Baloney. Isn't it funny how God can forgive a man of adultery, drugs, alcohol, some of the wickedest things in the world.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
But God forbid a divorce happen in his life.
Yeah.
Y'all okay?
Yeah.
I had a preacher down the road call me one day. Wanted to know if I'd marry a young couple in his church. I said, well, why don't you marry him? He said, well, he's been married before. I said, you want me to marry? He said, yeah. I said, are they going to join my church? He said, well, no. They'll stay here. I said, you won't marry them, but you'll pastor them. You're going to give their tithes back every week? What do you say? I'm just glad God can deal with the past. I'm glad God can get over a past that others can't. And by the way, I'm still married to the same woman I've been married to for 26 years, 27, 20, long time. I may not be tonight, but right now it's still intact. Amen. I have to do some math right quick. I'm glad God can deal with the past. I'm glad you're in a place this morning you don't have to worry. Nobody's sitting around here thinking about what you are, what you used to be. Now, there may be one wicked person in here like that, or two or three, but for the most part, we're just glad you're here.
Yeah.
Amen. God gave me a promise for my past. My. Can I give you one more? God gave me a promise to deal with my past, and then God gave me a promise that is prophetic. You know what that means? Ain't happened yet. John chapter 14. The Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me.
Yeah, brother.
Now, if you got the right Bible, listen, here's what it says next. In my Father's house are many mansions.
Yeah.
Amen. If you got a different Bible, all you get is a room.
Yeah.
I'm serious heart attack. I ain't making fun of your book. I'm just telling you what it said.
Yeah.
Amen. If it ain't King James, you got a room, friend.
Yeah.
In my Father's house are many what?
Mansions.
Brother Scott, we stay in motel rooms all the time. I expect more of heaven, don't you? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Here's what he said next. I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go, watch it, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. I got a promise that deals with my past, but I got a promise for a secure future. Hallelujah. Hey, what's the end of this thing? It's just heaven, friend. It's just heaven when we die. Glory to God. It's graduating from one to something greater. Amen. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is in Psalms 23. Where David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I was preaching Miss Becky's funeral, And the Lord gave me something on the platform. I mean, just gave me a message that I preached that day. And I talked about how Brother Freddie and I, they had the funeral over in Marietta. That's where the funeral was. And I talked about how we had to pass through Powder Springs to get there. I said, now, I don't like Powder Springs. And if you're from Powder Springs, God forgive you. Amen. I'm not crazy about Powder Springs. Never have been. We used to go over there to fight. That was in that past that I don't have anymore. Amen. And in that funeral, I said, now, if I don't have what I need, that's gas in my vehicle, I could run out and get stuck right in the middle of Powder Springs. And I was talking about having the gas to get there. Amen? I'm glad I've got the gas to get there. I'm talking about heaven. Amen? Ain't no if so, hope so, maybe so, think so. No, it's a no so thing. Amen? I've got a promise that dealt with my past. I've got a promise that dealt with my future. They sang about it this morning. Amen? No more dying. Jay Collins going to be out of business. Ain't a funeral home over there. Amen. No more crying. Can you imagine the heartache that Brother Roger Leggett and their family's going through this morning? Found his son laying in a field burnt to death. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine that in a million years. That'll never happen again, friend, when we get to heaven. Sister Kyla Rowland wrote a song, said, heaven will fix it all. Amen. Ain't a problem you got. Heaven ain't going to take care of. Heaven will take care of bad attitudes. You may not smile and shout much here, but son, you get to glory, you're going to strip a gear. Somebody said, I don't like all that shouting in church. I hope I'm standing next to you when we see him. I'm going to go, shh. Wait a minute now, you don't like all that hollering. You're going to have a hissy fit. Hey man, you're going to get wound up tighter than the strings on that banjo. Hey, when you see the Lord, you're going to come unscrewed, brother and sister. Hey, I know I'm going. I've got the assurance of it. I've got the promise of it. I've read the travel brochure. I'm going to go ahead and be happy about it now. How about you? I've got the promise. This Bible, you've got to get hold of these promises. You've got to get hold of these promises. You ever had anybody promise you something? I promised my wife to take her on vacation. June the 20th. She's counting down the days. June the 20th. We're out of here, friend. Don't call me. Cell phone off. Vacation. And she's so excited. You know what it's costing her? Nothing. Not a dime. I took care of it all. Every day she says, we're going on vacation. You know what she's doing? She's anticipating the promise. Now what if something happened? She'd be discouraged, wouldn't she? No, she'd probably go without me. But seriously, hey, we're anticipating his coming. Amen. Brother Harold, I don't know how much longer we got. I don't know how many more of these meetings we'll get to do together. I hope it's a whole bunch. But if it ain't, that's okay too. Amen. Brother Scott that was up here playing the guitar a while ago, he nearly died last year. Has it been 3 years ago? Good night. He had a weird infection in his lungs. He nearly left this world. Thought he was dying. You know what? It would have broke our hearts. But it wouldn't have broke his. Because as soon as that last breath blew out of his body, he's looking at the King of Kings and the Lord, I believe, before that last breath. Done been there too many times. Done been standing there where they died. Miss Becky told me, what's her name? Stacy told me. Said, Aunt Becky, tell Brother Eddie who came to see you today. You know what she said? She said, the Lord. I said, really? She said, yeah, he stood right over there. She said every time somebody come in, he stepped out. You say, she's hallucinating my hind leg. Somebody visited her, brother. As somebody made her say, Brother Eddie, I'm going to heaven tonight. I'm going to heaven tonight. I'll see you there, preacher. Preach my funeral. Tell my family to make sure they're safe. What are you saying? I'm saying our future is secure. How do you know? How do you know you're going to heaven when you die? I've got God's word on it. I've got the promise of that. Amen. That's the greatest promise in all the world. He said, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. If you're not sure you're saved this morning, I would get that thing settled before I left this place. Amen. I've got a promise that deals with my past. I've got a promise that is prophetic in that it deals with my future. It's already secure. I love that old saying, and it's been said to death, but I've read the back of the book, and we win. Are you listening? But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. Are you listening to me this morning? Oh, me, it's 11:30 in Alabama. I've got a promise that deals with my past, a promise that deals with my future, and I've got a promise according to Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 5. You know what the Lord said? It's a promise that's personal, Brother Harold. He said, I will not fail thee. I didn't turn there. I may misquote it. Let me make sure I get it right. Where did I say Hebrews 13? Listen, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will, say that the next word with me, never. I will what?
Never
leave who? Thee nor forsake thee. Now, brother, that's a promise right there. But it's a personal promise. He didn't say y'all. He didn't say I'll never leave nor forsake y'all. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll never leave thee. He said, I'll be with you. Brother, that's personal. No matter where you go, God's with you if you're a child of God. You understand that? That's a promise right there. If I've got to go into surgery, hey, I don't need a pastor to come pray over me. Y'all all right? I mean, I appreciate the prayers, but I'm not going in there by myself. Guaranteed. When Brother Scott was laying in that hospital and it looked bad to his family, and they said, hey, kids, your daddy may not come out of this. Hey, Miss Becky, your husband may not live through this. I'm glad they wasn't the only ones in that room. Scott said he had several visitors. He said the devil was one of them. Next time they get to come through here, I'm going to have him preach on it. If I didn't travel so much, he'd have been preaching this morning. He wasn't the only one in there. But just as sure as the devil sat down by his bed and started discouraging him, the Lord stepped up on the other side and said, hey, butt out, sucker. I got this. Y'all listening? Butt out, I got this. Who was it? We got somebody here this morning that has died before. Where's she at? Miss Jackie, where are you at? Wave at me. Kathy, I'm sorry. Yeah, right there. That's a dead woman waving at you. Y'all look at her. Look at her. Pronounced dead. Y'all all right? Y'all looking spooky. They said, preacher, did you go lay hands on her head and heal her? No, I didn't have to. Why? Because the healer was there. Are you listening? The last breath had gone out of her body. The doctors have said that's all we can do. And I'm glad there was a doctor there who said, there's something I can do. Yeah. Amen. There's something more I can do. Hey, I can put breath where they ain't breath. Amen. I can put life where they ain't life. His promises are personal. He ain't just the Savior. He's my Savior. He's not just the Lord. He's my Lord. Amen. I like what David said. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. I'm not against nobody, but I'm sure glad I ain't a Catholic. I'm sure glad I don't have to go and get some man to pray for me. I'm glad there ain't no hierarchy. Y'all with me? I'm glad when these little kids this morning and the Lord burdened their heart while being in them as a singing, these little kids come to this altar all by themselves. And they say, Lord, and he says, yes. Y'all listening? Aren't you glad? Well, some of you got queasy looking there. I could get real rough, but I won't. He's a personal God. He's not just the preacher's God. He's your God. Hey, kids, he's not just mom and daddy's God. Hey, teenagers up there in the balcony, wave at me. Guess what? Babies, he's your God. He's your God. Doesn't matter where you live, what side of the tracks you're from, hey, what your social standing is, hey, Brother Eddie's God is your God. The same God that parted the Red Sea. The same God that rained manna out of heaven and fed his children. The same God that put a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to warm his people. That is your God this morning. Ain't you glad about it? I've got promises for my past. And boy, I got one. I've got a promise for my future. And boy, I got one. I like what one old preacher said. He said, my retirement plan is out of this world. Amen. Totally out of this world. Literally out of this world. Thank God. I've got a promise for my past. I've got a promise for my future. And I got a promise that's personal. The Lord said, I won't leave thee. You know what that means? Listen to me. He uses two different words there, leave and forsake. They're not the same. When Levi was little and we'd walk across parking lots, I'd make him hold my hand. And every now and then, you know what he'd say? I'm 6'1" and most of that's leg. And when I take a step, I step 3 to 4 feet at a time. And my little boy would jerk my hand and say, Daddy, slow down. I'd look down, he'd be I'm walking normal and his little feet are going. You know what God said? I won't run off and leave you. Don't worry about keeping up with me. Here's what the Lord said, Brother Shane. I'll keep up with you. He had his leg amputated, by the way. He didn't say, you don't have to try to stay with my pace. Because you know what? You couldn't if you tried. That's why so many people's religions fail them. Because they're trying to keep up with God. Amen. I'm glad I got a God who's keeping up with me. Amen. He said, I'll never leave thee. Now watch this next one. I'll never forsake thee. You know what that means? That means to turn you back. Are you listening? You ever had anybody turn their back on you? You know what that means? It means to forsake. We had a man in our church for years. They live in Carrollton now. Brother Gil Speck. Brother Gil was Jehovah's Witness, Brother Robbie. And met him one Saturday out on visitation, invited him to church. He said, well, I'm Jehovah's Witness. I said, I don't care what you are. We just want you to come to church. They ran a daycare over here on Hiram City Road. Brother Fred, they came, sat on the front row. Craziest thing I ever saw, Jehovah's Witness on the front row of an independent Baptist church. What a thing. Brother Earl preached, and that old boy got to crying, hit the altar, and got saved. You know what his family did for that? Wrote him off. You're out. You're no longer our son. You're no longer our family. Don't ever speak to us. Come to us. Call us again. You know what that meant? Forsaken. Forsaken. For doing something right. For doing something good. Sometimes we get forsaken for doing something bad. Y'all listening? The Lord said, I'll never do that. I'll never run off and leave you. I'll slow down enough so you can keep up. You don't have to worry. I'll go at your pace. I'll never leave you. He said, you know what else? I won't forsake you. Why did he make that promise? Why is that promise here? It's got to be because he knows us. Brother Earl Hughes said he knew he was getting a bum deal when he got you. All us put together, Brother Harold, ain't worth Calvary. None of us deserve that. Not one of us deserved the blood of Christ being shed for us. Not one of us. He knew you was going to mess up. Somebody said, I'm afraid if I get saved, I can't live it. Join the Can't Live It Club. There's none worthy. No, not one. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. You know what? You're going to fall. My son's made mistakes, believe it or not. He's done some things I didn't know about until last year. That's something about deer camp. Confessions just start coming out. I'm not, don't tell me nothing else. I don't want to know. I thought you was a good boy. Let me believe that. Amen. We're going to mess up. I'm glad I got a God. He says, no matter what you do, I'll be there. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Brother Scott, y'all come, Brother Scott, if you would. Maybe peace like a river. That might be real good. It's well with my soul. Miss Becky sings that better than anybody ever heard in my life. Listen, God dealing with your heart this morning. I want you to use this altar. I want you to come. Listen, let's bow our heads while they're making their way. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Kids, help me up there in the balcony, okay? Nobody looking around. I wonder if there's somebody here today. You're not sure if you died just like you are. If you fell dead of a heart attack right now, you're not sure heaven would be your home. Listen, I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. I just want to pray for you. If you just slip up your hand and say, Brother Eddie, I'm not sure, please pray for me. Anybody, you can slip your hand up and put it right back down. Up in the balcony, anybody. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died today, heaven would be my home. Please remember me. Preacher, I know I'm saved without a shadow of a doubt. If I die right now, you tell them at my funeral, I'm in heaven. How about that? Slip up your hand. Got that thing ironclad, nailed down. Good. That's nearly everybody in this building. Thank the Lord for that. Now, how about this? Preacher, I'm saved. Sometimes I'm afraid I'm just a little too human. Pray the Lord would help me. Pray you'd help me to get to where I ought to be and to be who and what I ought to be. How about that? Hands all over the building. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before you again this morning, God, we thank you for a good day. Lord, we thank you for your presence this morning. Lord, it's been sweet. And God, we just thank you so much. Thank you for the Wales family being with us today. Lord, how they touched our heart during that song. And God, thank you for the Rochesters, Lord, and their faithfulness, God. And Lord, their unwaveringness, God, how they've never changed. They just stay by the old stuff, God. And Lord, we thank you for just who they are. And Lord, letting them be here and be with us today. And God, you saw every hand in this altar call. You know every heart. And Father, we pray you just deal with us accordingly. Have your way now, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all go ahead. God, dealing with your heart, you come.